Welcome to The Mental Breakdown. In this podcast, I'm going to talk about little ones with anxiety and with some of these panicky, controlling types of behaviors. But first, a few housekeeping items. The first thing is the Handbook for Raising an Emotionally Healthy Child, Part 1 is out, available on Kindle. I encourage you all to check that out. The link will be in the show notes. The Elimination Diet Manual is also on the Amazon Kindle and is available for purchase. That will also be in the show notes. The third thing is the exciting thing, and that is the Parenting Your ADHD Child course is almost up and running. I spent this past weekend. Everything is loaded. Everything is there. I'm just running through a few final checks. I put an anticipated availability date of July 20th, but it's looking like we are well ahead of schedule and there shouldn't be any issues getting that out and going for everybody. So check that out. It's at paydiallc.com. Again, the show notes, the link will be in the show notes. Just click on courses, scroll down a little bit, and you will see the Parenting Your ADHD Child. You'll be able to view it. There's lots of information there online. You can even see the course outline and what the different lessons will focus on. So, all right. Hope you enjoy this episode. I think it'll be helpful for, or hope that it will be helpful for a lot of you guys. So, thanks. Breakdown. I'm Dr. Bernie Wilkinson, and today's podcast is going to be about little ones. I was talking to a friend the other day, and he was talking to me about his five-year-old daughter. He was telling me that she's very emotional. He says that she will freak out at times, that she becomes shaky and very difficult to console. He says that she's the type of kid who really likes to be in control, and she is constantly seeking information, so she asks why all the time. She really has a difficult time accepting things for what they are. She always, again, wants to be in control and wants to see what she can change and what she can handle on her own and deal with on her own without somebody else having to do anything with it. But at the same time, she often seeks support, so she often asks for help, even at times when she doesn't really need it. He talks about her, of course, being very bright, and I know this little one, and she is very bright, but at the same time, she's very challenging. She seems to have difficulty understanding and managing some of these things. My friend talked about the fact that, you know, she will engage in these kinds of behaviors oftentimes sort of at predictable times, like when she's tired or when she is, you know, getting ready for a transition, like if she's going to have a significant change in her schedule or something like that. But they also happen at other times. He's really wondering if this could be just manipulation or if there's something maybe a little bit more deeply rooted that could be the cause of some of these behaviors. This is a very common issue, and I've talked with a lot of people here in my practice about these same kinds of issues. So it's not unique to my friend, and so he was pleased to hear that. But it is something that we should spend a little bit of time talking about. Just a couple of things to consider first. Let's first talk about the issue of manipulation. When we talk about manipulation, of course, we're talking about one's attempt to get other people to do what they want them to do. And to, you know, sometimes and actually many times, that also involves the issue of control, wanting to control situations, wanting to be the one in charge, wanting to be able to do what one wants to do, even if other things need to be done instead. By about the age of a year and a half or so, we start seeing some of those manipulation types of behaviors. By then, we should be seeing them. For most kids, they start by about the first year of age. But by year and a half, most kids are demonstrating these types of behaviors. Now, part of them engaging in those behaviors early in life, part of that is simply learning cause and effect. You know, think about the toddler who is sitting in his high chair and throwing his fork repeatedly over the side. And so you bend over, pick it up, and put it back on there. And then he does it again. And all the while, he's laughing at you. And some parents get really frustrated with this. Just, you know, just eat. But this is the child's attempts to learn cause and effect. If I throw this over, Dad picks this up and puts it back on my tray. Learning cause and effect, of course, is a really important cognitive skill that little ones need to learn, because that's going to be the basis of not only future learning, but hopefully that's going to be the basis and foundation for some of the behavior management strategies that you're going to employ and continue to employ through their childhood and into adolescence. So learning that cause and effect is really important. And so, you know, kids need to engage in those kinds of behaviors, you know, early in life. The other purpose for that type of manipulation at that stage really is an attempt to separate oneself and learn theory of mind. Now, theory of mind is this really fascinating. I need to do a whole podcast just on theory of mind, but theory of mind is the cognitive awareness that other people think and know things differently than I think or know things. So sort of the classic example is somebody walks into the kitchen, puts something in a drawer for later, and leaves the kitchen. Someone else comes in, finds it, moves it somewhere else, closes the drawers back. Now, when the first person comes in, where is he going to look? Well, the person with theory of mind, who has a well-established theory of mind, knows that the person is going to come in and look where he or she initially placed the item. But a person who doesn't have that theory of mind thinks that, well, if one person knows that it was moved, then everyone should know that it moves. And so that person is going to, or that little one is going to say, well, he's going to look in the second place, the place where it was moved to. So theory of mind is really critical, because that's going to come into play later in the child's life and really sets a foundation for some cognitive skills and abstract skills that's going to come later in life. Now, the second thing to consider is anxiety. Anytime that I hear about a person in need of control, a controlling person, the first thing that I think about is anxiety. You know, if we think about the classic examples of anxiety, OCD, agoraphobia, phobic disorders, lots of different anxiety-related disorders are really all about control. They sort of see that the world is dangerous. There's these dangers out there, so I need to have as much control as I can. So with agoraphobia, for example, that's the fear of open spaces and being unable to get to help if one needs it. So people with agoraphobia, to control that, they refuse to leave their homes. People with OCD, because of those obsessive, anxious thoughts, they engage in compulsive behaviors to try to balance and to negate those negative consequences from those obsessive thoughts. So again, it's all about control. It's needing things to be a certain way. It's needing to manage those things to relieve anxiety. So let's get back to our five-year-old. The wonderful thing about this kind of issue coming up in a five-year-old, not that it's wonderful that a five-year-old is experiencing this, but because this is identified this early, there's some really great strategies that we can put into place to make sure that everything works out okay. The first is, just don't allow yourself to be manipulated. Now, when I say that, people say, you know, duh, of course I'm not going to let myself be manipulated. But let me, I'm not saying not being manipulated, not allowing yourself to be manipulated is different than being strict and rule governed and mean and punitive. It's a very different thing. What I mean by don't allow yourself to be manipulated is simply hear what the child is saying, and that kind of gets into some of the other ones, but listening to what the child is saying and, you know, understanding that what they're trying to do, maybe even saying, I understand what you mean, but we still have to do this. And so the idea is that even if the attempted manipulation is there, don't allow the child to get out of things that they need to get, that they need to do. The idea with manipulation, of course, is to, and especially with the negative connotation of manipulation that we think of, the kid is trying to get out of something that they don't want to do, or do something that they're not allowed to do or that we don't want them to do. So the idea of not being manipulated is simply not allowing those things to happen. It's not being mean. It's not being punitive. It's not getting on to the child for trying. I mean, in actuality, it's great that they're trying as opposed to just doing. But we just need to make sure that we protect the situation and don't allow the child to manipulate us by, you know, using their wily ways to get away with things and to change the situation from what we need it to be. The second thing to do about it is to actually teach skills. We need to teach little ones how to relax. You know, we begin life with them with a pacifier and things like that. They suck their thumbs, they use pacifiers, and all of that is with the goal of soothing themselves. Well, as they get older, as they turn 4 and 5 years old, they're probably not using a pacifier anymore, of course. But we need to teach them new ways to handle the anxiety, to handle stress, to self-soothe. Because if they don't learn these skills, you know, when are they going to? When are they going to understand? When are they going to know how to handle these uncomfortable feelings? Well, it's not always an intuitive thing, especially for little ones and adults with anxious tendencies. So we need to teach them in a very direct way, this is how you relax. You take deep breaths, you close your eyes, you go for a walk, you change activities, you talk about it. There's lots of things that we can teach them how to do. And one of my favorites is, and even at this young of an age, is teaching them how to control their and understand their body. You know, even 4 and 5 year olds, they can feel when their heart is beating really fast. Signs of an anxiety attack. They can feel when their heart's beating really fast. They can tell when they're breathing fast and getting into those deep those real shallow quick breaths. So teach them when you feel that happening, when you see that happening, you know, do this, take your deep breaths and see if you can slow your heart rate down. See if you can slow your breathing down. Take deep breaths so that you don't breathe so quickly and shallowly. Shallowly, I don't know if that's really a word, but you know what I'm saying. But we need to teach it in a very concrete way. So when it's happening, we teach them how to do it. Remind them how to do it and show them how to do it. Now, the other critical piece to this is telling them, showing them, and teaching them how to do this when they're not anxious. So we need to begin this during times when everybody's calm, when everybody's relaxed, when there's no real anxiety happening. Now, the third piece is really kind of tying some of this together, and that is listening to the child and walking them through the process. You know, we can teach these skills all day long, but if the child doesn't know how and when to implement them, it doesn't really matter. You know, we do this often, not only in education, but we do it as parents as well. We expect our kids to know how to do something, and then we just get angry and upset and frustrated and disappointed when they don't use those skills that we feel like they have. Now, in fact, many kids do have the skills that we want them to have. They just don't know when to implement them. They don't know when to use them. And so when we have a situation like my friend's 5-year-old, when he has a situation where she's kind of freaking out a little bit and her anxiety is getting up there and she's breathing quickly and talking quickly and getting a little bit panicky, that's the time to listen to her. What's going on? What's happening? And walk her through the process of relaxing. Walk her through the process of taking those deep breaths, of listening to her body and calming herself down. Now, the first number of times, the first dozen or so times, he's going to have to walk her through it very directly. The next dozen or so times, he's going to still have to remind her to use them. She may be able to do them on her own, but he's still going to have to remind her to use those skills. It won't be until a while later that she's really worked and practiced these that she begins to do them on her own. So we got to teach, but we have to remind. We have to make sure that the child associates the skills that we're teaching with the situations that they need to use those skills. All right. Well, I hope that is helpful for anybody out there. I know that this is a very common issue for parents of kids with some of these anxious tendencies. So, all right. Well, until next time, I'm Dr. Bernie, and have a great afternoon and forget to be afraid.